Praise God. Would you open to the book of Acts in chapter 1? Starting at verse 1, we'll go from 1 to 11. You can read it with me if you'd like. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. Everybody say taken up.
Taken up.
Ooh, hallelujah, he was taken up. After he, through the what? Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. How many of y'all know he's still giving commandments through the Holy Spirit to his apostles and sons of God that he's chosen? Praise God. So where do your commands come from? The Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, in other words, after his resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we know after the resurrection of Christ, when he ascended on high, he came back down and hung out with his brothers, his kids, his creation, for 40 more days. And being assembled together with them, he what? He commanded. Now he gave a direct command, didn't he? He said, listen. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he commanded them to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You got to remember now, these guys hung around with Jesus for almost 3.5 years. Next thing you know, he shows up. He tells them all to go to the hangout in Jerusalem where they all met in the upper room. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he commanded them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He did not tell them to go out and tell anybody about him. He did not say, go out and preach. Do not go out and do this. He said, wait. Go get baptized in the Holy Spirit before you go out and confess me. Because he's the God of power. Amen. And then he said, therefore, when they had come together, Therefore, when they had come together, they had asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So they were looking at restoration to Israel. See, they were expecting Jesus to turn everybody into soldiers and go wipe out the Romans. But that's not what happened. And he just kind of shrugged it off. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, it's not for you to know this right now. I'm not talking about restoring Israel yet, but they knew that he was going to restore Israel someday. Does everybody understand that? They knew it. And he said to them, it's not time for you to know these things. But you shall, verse 8, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And that's one of the greatest things to be a witness, is to have power. Power over what? Power over temptation. Power over the ways of the world. Power over yourself. Hello? That's called self-control. Power. Power to cast out devils. Power to lay hands on the sick. Power to walk in the Spirit. Power. Power. It's a Spirit that brings power. Amen? Now, when he had spoken these things while they were washed, he was what? Taken up. Man, he got taken up how many times? Hello? Said he was taken up, right? Glory to God. Didn't he go up one other time? Amen. That's why he told Mary, he said, man, don't touch me now. I got to ascend into heaven. What was he doing? He was bringing the blood. He was bringing his own blood into heaven to make way for me and you. So he ascended twice. Has everybody got it? And he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will soon come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So what did he say? He said, man, he's coming back again. It's called second coming. I want to talk a little bit about second coming. We're going to express certain things about the second coming. And then we'll probably have to do another teaching afterwards to continue some of the other things. So they said, listen, the way you saw him go up is the way he's going to come down. And remember, Jesus was taken up two times. All right? In other words, that means there's got to be two more take-ups or come-downs. So that means he was taken up twice. That means he's coming twice. That's why it's called second coming. Now, he came once as Jesus. After that, we call it a second coming. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Glory. Everything in the Word of God is not only symbolic, but it can represent past, present, or future. And that's where you have to be led by the Spirit of God to understand what He is saying. Amen? You can find in one chapter, of course, when the Word of God was written, they were not divided by chapters or verses. In fact, some of these chapters kind of cause a little confusion, thinking it's something different when some of these chapters blend right together. That's why I really think God allowed that to happen so that you wouldn't understand this word without the Holy Ghost. Because didn't he command his disciples get baptized in the Holy Ghost? He commanded them, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why many people read the Word of God literally. They look at it as a book. They don't understand the depths of the Word of God. They're still trying to understand it carnally. But it's the Holy Spirit that wrote it. And unless you know the author, it's going to be hard to understand this. Oh, hallelujah. It's not about memorization. It's about application. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Is everybody there? In verse 27. Would you read it with me? And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a what? Second time, apart from sin, for what? Salvation. Now, salvation is a representation of something to be salvaged. Amen? In other words, he's coming again to salvage us. He's already granted us salvation through the price he paid. But all of this is a part of the total redemption that he has planned for us. It's a part of God's plan. It's a part of your inheritance. All of these things are available for me and you. That's why the Bible says that you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing and we're seated in heavenly places, aren't we? All of these things are available for me and you because they are promises. Why? Because we talked about this before. When you are married to the Lord, there is a covenant between you two. Amen. So his promises are true and amen. Now there's something that will disqualify. That's our disobedience. The Word says, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we see here, he talks about a second coming. The second coming of the Lord. Go to John 14. John 14, verse 1. 1 through 6. Can everybody hear me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That thing should be hitting red. Oh. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 1. Read it with me. 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. All glory. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. So we know that there's only one way home then, through him. That's it. Can't go around. You can't build your own towers or anything else. Doesn't matter how many rituals you do. Doesn't matter how many sacrifices. Oh, well, there's only one way home. And that's through him. That's it. So he says, I go prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come for you. I want to explain a couple things, first of all. When the Lord quickened me today about starting the teaching on Second Coming, I opened up my my book where I write down some of the teachings. And when I opened it up, there was a title said, Second Coming. So I said, okay. A while back, I had a dream. And now some of you have heard about this dream already. And I was in this old Buick convertible, red, white, about a 57, 56. And I was driving in this thing, and there was people in it, and everybody was just joyful and stuff. And I'm driving, and we're supposed to go to this. And all of a sudden, I realized that there's this college where we were going. And there was this open area where people, like, have lunch and stuff like that, you know, like, and all of the class of big dorms were around there and stuff. And I thought, man, how are we going to get down there? So anyways, I was just led to drive down this hill and parked the car right there, and I got out. And all the people that were in the car were like, whoa, yes, and this and that. And I found myself going up to the students, and I was shaking them. And I was grabbing them. And I kept telling them, I said, you don't belong here. He's coming. And I shook the next one. You don't belong here. He's coming. And the people that were in the car with me were going, yes, and they were praising God and praising God. I realized there were some of my dead relatives. I thought, whoa, praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm shaking these people, and I'm crying, shaking them, these people going, you don't belong here. In other words, don't get caught up in this. This is not your home. He's coming. He's coming. And I kept doing this and going from one person to another. Finally, I turned around, and I got on my knees, and I lifted my hands to heaven. I said, Father, they don't belong here, and you're coming. And I woke up. And let me tell you something. God's coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. I truly believe that you and I are the generation, the return of the Lord. I really believe that everyone in this room is going to see the return of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, we are closer than we realize. Oh, to God be the glory. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Talk about a shaking. I'm still waiting for that open door to go to the college. Hallelujah. But it's going to happen. Because the Lord is faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. The second coming. You can read this with me if you'd like. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, you've got to remember something. He's writing to believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, what's going to happen is the Lord is going to bring those who are in Christ, who have died in Christ. He's going to bring them with them, with him. Those who, their graves are going to open up. They're going to come out. And they're going to start heading home, and you and I are going to follow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? So it's not going to be no quiet or secret removal. With the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. There it is again. Taken up, caught up. That's called rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? The Lord will never touch the earth. This is called the second coming. He is not going to come to the earth. He's going to stay up in the clouds, and we are going to be caught up to him. Amen? And so many people are calling other things the second coming. There's a difference between the second coming and the day of the Lord. Those are two different events. This is called the second coming, where the church, the body of Christ, is going to be removed from the earth. This is the second coming. You and I are going to go party. Hallelujah. It's going to be the greatest party there ever was. So God is coming for the church first. At the coming, the second coming is the Lord comes to remove the church. On the day of the Lord comes to protect Israel. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So we see that the second coming is the removal of the church of Jesus Christ. He will not touch the earth. He's not coming to touch the earth. Go to chapter 5. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, now he's talking about the day of the Lord, isn't he? That the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. That is different. And labor pains, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not what? Escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief, or bring you in fear, or bring you in bondage. There's two different events, the coming of the Lord, the second coming, and the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord represents God's wrath. He's coming to protect Israel and protect his people. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Amen. We are what? We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So we see here that the day of the Lord, he comes to the earth, the wrath, and his saints to protect Israel. And I'll show you. Go to Judges chapter 1. Go to Jude chapter 1. Hallelujah. Jude. It's a book right before Revelation. And it's not Hey Jude. Hallelujah. That was a heroin song. It was a song done by the Beatles called Hey Jude. It was associated with heroin. That's what he used to call heroin. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that how the devil turns all things around, you know? Jude 1, verse 14. 14 and 15. Read it with me. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which are ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we see it's coming. They're coming with the saints, right? So you know that that can't be the second coming of the Lord, because first of all, the saints got to go with him, go up with him. Amen? So this has got to be the day of the Lord. So there's two different things, the day of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. And what we're talking about right now is trying to get you to the understanding of the second coming. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I'll try to make the separation. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at here. This is powerful. Start at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him, what? In glory. That's when the saints come. You're going to appear with, in other words, when he appears to the rest of the world. Has everybody got it? That's called the day of the Lord. When he appears to the rest of the world, you're going to appear with him. Glory. Glad you're all excited about that. How about Revelation 1? Better turn the AC up. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 7, it says what? Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who what? Pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. This is called the day of the Lord, not the second coming. Amen? Now go to Philippians 3. It's good to hear the pages flying on a Tuesday night. Philippians chapter 3. Oh. Now let's go to John. 1 John first. Hope you brought your Holy Ghost erasers. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you. Is everybody there? First John chapter 3. Start at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So here's something very powerful. It says, these are one of the attributes of the second coming. When he comes and takes you, he's going to be revealed to you. Amen? What's going to happen is, when you are taken, you're going to be changed into his image and likeness. You're going to be like him in character. Does everybody understand that? You're going to be like him. Glory! You know, I mean, think about it. You're going to be like him. No more goofy thoughts. Hallelujah. No more offenses. No more bitterness. No more lust, desires, ungodliness. All that garbage is going to be swept away, and you're going to be holy as holy. Because your daddy's holy. You're going to be like him. How are you going to be like him? Go to Philippians chapter 3. This is all a part. These are some of the attributes of the second coming. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody there? Philippians chapter 3. Thank you, Dad. Okay. In verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, so whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, lustful things, selfishness, so forth. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our what? Lowly body, that it may be what? Conformed to his glorious body. This is how you're going to be like him. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Praise God. Let's go somewhere else. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Everybody got that? 1550. Would you read it with me? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So this is a mystery. This is something that God gave Paul a revelation about the rapture of the church, where one of the attributes is where you're going to be like Christ because you're going to change. Hallelujah. You're going to change. Now, you remember, it says here in verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the what? Last trumpet. Didn't we just talk about that? And we just said, and Jesus will descend, amen, and with a shout and the trump, and it's the last trump. The last trumpet will sound, and Jesus will come and take the church. And it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive will be caught up afterwards. Now, this actually happened in a way when Jesus was on the cross. If you'll turn to Matthew, I believe it's 27. Matthew 27. Glory. The second coming. Matthew 27 and verse 50. No more aches and pains. No more reading glasses. Won't have to wear a watch because time won't mean a heck. Don't even need a football to play football. No pigs allowed. Hallelujah. Humans are animals. Verse 50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. Now he's on the cross and yield up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth, what? Quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. Whoa! And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were what? They were raised. Can you imagine that? Because they were in tombs and stuff. Jesus descended into the earth and shook everything. These tombs opened, and all these bodies were out there. Now it says, the bodies of the saints. These are those who were raised right here. Were those who accepted Jesus Christ while he was during his ministry. Amen? Because those in Christ were raised. Not the Old Testament. These were those who were there during the ministry of Jesus. Anyone who died during the ministry of Jesus, who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and followed him, who died during that period of time, was raised right then. Now look at verse 53. And coming out of their graves after his what? Resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Glory to God. That's almost like the rapture, isn't it? Think about it. You and I are going to, the dead are going to raise first, and those who are alive are going to be taken up, and we're going to another city. Hallelujah. Second coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. 1 Peter chapter 5. Glorious. We have a teaching called the rapture, which explains the time and everything, generation, everything. I encourage you to get it, because I'm not going to go that deep into this. 1 Peter chapter 5. All the glory. Is everybody there? Glory. Starting at 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor are being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a what? Crown of glory that does not what? fade away. This is another attribute. So we talk about a brand new body, home, and a crown of glory. These are attributes of the second coming. Hallelujah. It says that we're going to be like him, right? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Glory to God. Second Timothy chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Starting at verse 1, if you'll read it with me, please. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, that's the day of the Lord, isn't it? He said what? Preach the word and be what? Man, you and I got to be ready. We've got to be ready. It's our responsibility to be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers who are not willing to tell the truth, who are concerned about keeping people, who are men-pleasers instead of God-pleasers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. Fables. And you see it happen all the time. But you be what? Watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry or fulfill your call. Amen? Fulfill it. Oh, hallelujah. So you and I must be watchful, right? We must be ready. Go to James chapter 5. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. Oh, glory. Verse 7. Everybody hear me? Okay. Read it with me, please. Therefore be patient. Hello, everybody say that. Yes, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, the word patience, you know, I've talked to people have said, oh man, don't pray for patience. Why not? It's a fruit of the Spirit. That means you can't wait on God. That means you have the spirit of anxiety if you ain't patient. Hello? Don't pray for patience. Okay, pray for anxiety. Get in the Spirit, man. Come out of the letter and get in the Spirit. It cracks me up. Hallelujah. Therefore, be what? Patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and what? Latter rain. So we know that the latter and the early rain have something to do with the second coming of the Lord. Let me share this with you. Before the Lord comes and takes his church, he's going to express himself with the early and latter rain through the body of Christ. I've shared this before, that he's coming through the body of Christ before he literally comes. Because the early and latter rain must come before the rapture. Verse 8, you also be patient. What does he say? Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. In other words, get your heart right. And he tells you, he says, don't grumble against one another. Brethren, lest you be condemned because the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience or endurance. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So you're going through a lot of stuff? Praise God. that men don't complain. So you didn't get it your way? It's not a drive-thru. The kingdom of God is not an organization. It's an organism. Living life. God wants to express himself through us. Revelation 3. Hallelujah. You cannot hide from God. Amen. Everything will always be exposed. Amen. Always. He either exposes us privately or openly. One or the other. If, in other words, he always warns us. He always gives us an opportunity and a chance. If we're not willing to take those opportunities, he'll expose us openly and hope that we'll come to repentance and come out of the snare of the enemy. Because the Lord says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. See, when you disobey, you exalt yourself. What you're saying is, I know better than God. Well, I didn't mean it that way, but not how you meant it. It's what you did that did it. Amen? Amen? That means you're exalting yourself above God. You know, everyone in this room has played God. We all have. Everyone. We've all been snared in it. But when we come to repentance, the blood washes us and it's over. It does not give us a right to redo it again. Repentance doesn't give you the right to do it again. What it does is allow you to make a heart change, to turn around. Amen? Revelation chapter 3. In verse 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So what does he tell them? Be what? Watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and what? Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Ooh. That's just not talking about rapture or anything. That's talking about everyday life with me and you. So we must be what? Watchful. Watchful. Revelation 16. Verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Would you read it with me? Verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and what? Keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. See, if you're not watching, if you're not in that fellowship, you're not able to keep yourself. You're not able to keep yourself clean. And it's our responsibility to keep ourselves clean. Because if we don't keep ourselves clean, then our shame will be exposed. Amen? Our shame will be exposed. Now, the longer, when we mess up in any way whatsoever, the quicker we repent, the less we reap. Amen? And the quicker we repent, the blood washes us. Because the longer it takes, our heart becomes more and more hard. That's what happened to Pharaoh. God allowed Pharaoh's heart to become very hardened. And the harder your heart becomes, the more your garments become blemished. Amen? And so these are things that you and I must be ready for. We want to be clean. One of the things he said, keep your heart. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let it be hardened. In 1 John chapter 2. In verse 28, would you read it with me? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. This is the second coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Ooh, so that means that you and I must abide in him. Abide. That means in fellowship. That means accept his chastening. That means accept his counsel, correction, and direction. That's what abiding means. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 4. Am I moving too fast? Praise God, get the tape. Hallelujah. Verse 5, please. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Whoa. In other words, one of the things that we must do, first of all, is understand God's timing. It says, don't judge anything before the time. We must understand God's timing. God's time is involved in his perfect will. If you're not walking in the sequence of God and a specific timing, the perfect will cannot manifest. And it won't. Amen? And he says, listen, therefore judge nothing before time. In other words, wait. Let God build a house and not us. Amen? And let praise, do the right thing, abide. Keep your garments clean and let the praise not come from men but from him. In other words, we must discern. We must be able to discern. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, praise God. First Timothy chapter 6. In verse 12. Read it with me. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potent, the King of kings and Lord of... Ooh. Hallelujah. So we see here, again, we must keep his what? Commands. In other words, what he tells you, do it. What he tells you, do it. Must keep his commands. Titus. Titus 2. Titus chapter 2. Everybody there? You're quick. Titus 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So you and I must keep looking. We must have that hope. Keep looking and hoping. Never lose sight of who you are, what the promises of God are, and keeping that hope and looking for his return. Because his return may be for you, specifically. You never know when you're going to meet the Maker. Amen? You never know. That might be, at any moment. Besides the rapture. Go to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. How many of y'all want to make the second coming?
Amen.
You need a bus ticket. Make sure you don't give it away, okay? Don't try and sell it either. There's a price to pay for that bus ticket. He paid it. Now it's your responsibility to hold on to it. Don't lose it. Starting at verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, who's the bridegroom? We're the bride. Hallelujah. One man and one woman. You got it? Okay. The virgins represents individuals who have been washed by the blood. Okay? So we see that there was 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, the Lord. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were boneheads. They were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Oh, see, the devil drains that oil. Oh, they had the letter. They couldn't walk it. They couldn't obey it. Because the devil drained the oil, the lusts of the world, the desires of the flesh. The me, myself, and I syndrome began to drain that oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their wicks. In other words, they cleaned up. Why? Because when you clean up the wick, it becomes brighter. In other words, here I am. Well, see, the foolish ones trimmed their wick, but there was no oil. I was like, here he goes. But the ones that had the oil were able to say, here I am. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Ooh. But the wise answered and said, pray for yourself. No. No. Pray for yourself, man. The Bible tells us that. It says, when you go need prayer, go pray. And then go to the elders, right? Hallelujah. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. See, the thing is they could not see themselves. Do you understand that? See, the wise ones were filled with oil. Their lamps were lit. They were able to see. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? So they were able to see. But the other ones couldn't because they've been drained. Been caught up in the world and the cares, the lusts. They couldn't clean their wicks. It was too late now. Oh, hallelujah. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Hallelujah. That's another attribute. When you and I are raptured, we're going to a wedding. Big party, man. Get down. They went into the wedding, and the door was shut. Now, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? What happened to Noah? Amen. After the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He said, I don't know you. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How many of y'all want to be wise virgins? Amen. Amen. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Praise be to God. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means that the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Who is that? Satan. He will be revealed. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, so we see that this can't, the rapture cannot come, the coming of the Lord, I mean, the second can't come until the son of perdition is in a temple and is exalting himself. Hello? So that means something very important. A temple must be built. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. So he's talking about something that's restraining the powers of darkness from taking over. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he, you see where the word he is? You know what that he represents? The body of Christ. Only he who it now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Why? Because the body of Christ is put together, manifested by the presence of God, by the Holy Spirit. Now the blood allows us to become into the body, but the Holy Spirit keeps us together. Amen? So the Holy Spirit, now in other words, you are spirit-filled, you are the body, there's only one spirit, right, allows us access to the Father. And through that, the body of Christ, the presence of the body of Christ, the presence of God through the body of Christ on this earth is restraining the powers of darkness from running rapid. Once you and I are taken and the body of Christ is taken from here, all hell will break out. That's why he says, listen, the son of perdition is going to be revealed in the temple. But he who is restraining him, until he who is restraining him is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Oh, hallelujah. That's known as the day of the Lord. Everybody got it? And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. So we see here that the temple must be built. This is a sign, okay? This is a sign. Now, we talked about attributes and preparations, okay? So we know that this is a sign. This is one of the signs of the times right now that physically, in the natural realm, things must manifest. Now, we know that Israel became a nation, which was a sign. Amen? We know that Jerusalem became its capital, which is a sign. Now, you know, the rest of the world doesn't accept Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. They have a hard time with that. We know that the Jews had to begin to return home. That's why the Berlin Wall came down and so forth. And the body of Christ is assisting and financing the Jews from returning home from all over the world. That's why there's so much salvation in the body of Christ, because not only the Jews are returning home, but God is bringing his children into the body of Christ. And we also know that there must be the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And that's where we're going to start next Tuesday. The restoration of the tabernacle of David and the signs of the second coming. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, if there be any area in our lives that we haven't come to humbleness and repentance, that we have walked away from you in any way, Lord, that we would be known as a foolish virgin instead of a wise virgin. We ask for your forgiveness in the name of Jesus, and we ask for the wisdom from your throne room that we may abide, that we may surrender, and that we may follow your ways. Now, Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here. Lord, prepare us for your coming in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.